Very thankful for the prayer that Brother Dwayne offered and for the blessing of being able to worship God in freedom without the difficulties that many of God's children have encountered through the years. And I would ask that you would continue to pray for me as I stand before you this morning, that God might bless the word in spite of my inability to deliver it or in spite of my studies. I pray that it would be a blessing to each one here. The message that I have on my mind today is a sermon that I most certainly am preaching to myself. And it's some thoughts that I've had up on my mind for some time. And I keep thinking about those things and applying them to my life, but I haven't quite got there yet. Hopefully, as I preach this sermon to myself, it'll be beneficial for each and every one of you, Lord willing. He blesses it in such a way. You know, life is a journey. And during this life, we have lots of peaks and valleys. It's just a part of life. We walk through the valleys for a period of time. We climb mountains and hills. And this is an ongoing process in our lives that will not end here. But I believe that God's Word teaches us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory now and forever. Peter tells us that in 2 Peter 3:18, to grow in grace, in divine influence, and in knowledge. And when we grow, it brings about change. And the only way we can grow is to read and to study. We don't just wake up one morning and all this come to pass. You know, in this country, I think that's what we'd like to see happen. We'd like all our problems solved and everything to go away. But of all the things that you do day in and day out, be honest with yourself. How much time do you spend in God's Word? If you want answers to your problems, they're in God's Word. Unfortunately, most people seek the answers for their problems in life out here in the world, on the television set, or in some way they're looking to alleviate the difficulties that they have and the problems they have, but it's not through the study of God's Word. You know, God is sovereign. He has all knowledge and He has all power. There's not a problem that you and I have that He has not encountered or that He doesn't know about. He knows your thoughts and your intents before you think them. He knows all your problems. So as we think about those things, I thought about this song, "It Is Well With My Soul." I ask you today, is it well with your soul? What does it mean? Is it really well with your soul? You know, the first verse says, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll." You know, we have sorrows in our lives. We have trials in our lives. It's like the waves upon the ocean. They're up and they're down. It's like the valleys I spoke of and the mountains that we have to climb. Every one of us have our own valleys to walk through and our own mountains to climb over. Every one of us. The Bible tells us there's not a one of us that are going to escape those difficulties. But through that journey of valleys and peaks, can you honestly say, it is well with my soul? I am satisfied where I'm at. You know, I think that song has a lot to say, and I think the possibility exists where you and I could honestly say, it is well with my soul. But I believe for most of God's children, they can't answer this and say, yes, it is well with my soul. I'll tell you right now, I honestly believe there's just been a handful of people in my lifetime, by my observation, by knowing them, that could honestly say, it is well with my soul. Now, as we begin to look into this subject, if God would bless this morning, I think about the things that distract us in life, the things that tear us apart inside. And the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, a verse I've read many times, but one that has been up on my mind and one that I need to really dwell upon more. He says in verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Now, I think this goes a lot further than most people believe it does. Are you really content? Are we really content? What does it mean to be content? And I wrote down a definition. It says, one definition of being content is having the desires limited by that which one has. In other words, You're self-satisfied at wherever you're at in life with what you have. That doesn't fit the mold of most Americans, does it, or the Western culture? How many folks do you know that are truly satisfied with what they have? And this idea of being content goes far beyond mere materialistic things or beyond money. You know, are you content with who you are, how you feel? Are you content with your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, where are you? It also means to be satisfied or to be at rest. You know, I believe that there are two things that go hand in hand in the Bible when we concern this idea of being content, and that's peace. The Bible has a great deal to say about peace. You know, oftentimes we believe that if we're not warring with somebody, we're at peace. You know, if this country's not at war with another nation, we're at peace. But the peace that passeth understanding that we're going to speak about and look at in a little bit after we get back to looking at Paul's situation here is something that I believe is a rare gem. It's like a rare diamond. It's scarce. A lot of folks have a hard time grabbing hold of this and having real peace in their life. Their life, a lot of times when you're not in peace, their life is constantly in turmoil. You know, there are people I know that just do not seem to be able to exist in life without some form of turmoil. Between family, co-workers, children, you name it, brothers and sisters in the church. I mean, it seems as though they feed and live on turmoil, confrontation. I don't know why, but they're not an example and a picture of somebody that's truly at peace, that can truly say it is well with my soul. Because I believe to say that, we have to be at a different place in our life and have a whole different understanding of God's word than the average person in the pew has. We come to church, we listen to the word preached, but, you know, making an application of God's word. If you're growing in grace, you must study God's word and you must have the idea that I need some things in my life. I need to learn. I need to be able to handle this. God's got my answers. You know, it don't matter how big your problem is, God is bigger than any problem you've ever had. You know, so many of us believe that the answers to our problems are out here in some university, some psychologist or some man in the world or something that we can purchase. It's going to relieve our points, but it's not. This internal peace that we're talking about is something that eludes so many of us. Evades us. It's scary. And if you know someone that is truly at peace, that could truly sing this song with serious meaning, and this being a picture of me, it is well with my soul. It's somebody you found that has grabbed hold of a precious gem, a rare diamond, something that I believe is precious in our lives because it alleviates so many of the difficulties and the problems that we have. You see, we oftentimes believe that our trials and our tribulations are far worse than somebody else's. Nobody's ever experienced what I have. But you know, Solomon made it clear that there's nothing new under the sun. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Everything we have in this life is a problem of the heart. It's not the problem of our brothers and sisters, our husband, our wife, our children, our co-worker, our boss. It's not their problem. The problem lies within us. Jesus said it's not what goes into our mouth that causes us our problems. It's what comes out of our heart. It defiles us and causes the great amount of difficulties that we face in this life. Paul said here, not that I speak in respect of want. He said, I've got what I need. I'm not wanting more. He said, for I have learned. One thing I want you to know, Paul didn't wake up one morning and become this way. He went through a process in his life to learn something. And it's something that I need to learn. You know, here's the greatest challenge I believe that you and I have in life. We often want to change people, circumstances, or things that are totally out of our control. You know, when I farmed all the days of my life, every time it come a thunderstorm like it did last night, I was standing at the window hoping the hail wasn't falling. Sometimes praying that the hail wouldn't be falling. But the point being is, as my wife calls it now, barring trouble, I worried about far too many things that were totally out of my control. I wasn't at peace. You know, until we lay our problems, our circumstances in our life in the hands of Jesus Christ, till we surrender our life to Him, we're never going to know this peace We're never going to know what it's like to say what Paul said, I have learned that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. As Brother Don has mentioned to us on Wednesday nights now, when he's been here and studying through the book of Acts, in the last several chapters of the book of Acts, it speaks of where Paul does most of his writings. And he was in a dungeon in prison. Now, how can a man who was in prison say, I'm content? Because he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know what most of us in America, even God's children, I believe, would rather have that turned around, for me to live is gain and to die is Christ. But that ain't what Paul said, is it? He said, for me to live is to live and honor Jesus Christ in my body, in my being, and in everything that I do. And wherever I have to go, to whatever depths I may sink, or whatever, however high I may rise, he said, I want to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ in my body by my life. Why are we here on the earth? Have you ever sat down and thought about that? Are we here to live forever? Most of us know that's not the truth. We're not here to live forever. Are we here to see how much money and materialistic things we can gather up and grab hold of, only to see them vanish when we leave? Like the rich man in Luke 12, when the Lord said he was a fool, I will require thy life tonight, and in whose shall these things be? What is our purpose on the earth? The Bible says that we should give God glory and honor. He has created all things for this very purpose. Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. They are created because if you're born of the Spirit of God, you're a new creation. It's the work of God, and it was done for His pleasure, not your pleasure. Does that mean we can't enjoy anything in life? Absolutely not. But what happened has happened many times throughout the ages. What God blessed His people to have became their God. And so, unfortunately, it's a problem that we encounter today. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. This ain't the first time this has happened. It isn't the first time that we've latched on to things that this world has and ran with them, only to find that down the road they're empty and vain, and they will not deliver us what we're looking for. We're looking for peace. Paul said, I learned something. I had to be educated. I had to be trained. You know, sometimes we were educated and we learn because we read God's Word. Are you at peace every day? Are you content every day? The Bible teaches us how to be that way. If we're not, why are we not studying in God's Word how to be content? You know, we need to lay things in the hands of the Lord. The biggest problem I've had in my life, I told my wife this morning, I said, we're all control freaks, if you want to call it that. You know, we want to be in control of all things. And we worry about things that we don't want to be in control of, things that we want to change, people that we want to change. We worry ourselves to death. We have anxiety. We get stressed out over things that are totally out of our control. As I've mentioned so many times when I preach, there's no one you can change but yourself. And I've come to believe that I'm the one that needs to change. And the reason that is, it's not that I'm bowing down and saying that I was wrong. You know, we all have that sense of pride, do we not? We don't want to say, well, you know, I'm at fault, I'm wrong. We're all puffed up with pride, which is a great sin, one of the greatest. But maybe I'm not handling it like the Lord Jesus Christ did. You know, He left us an example that we should follow in His steps. We're told that in 1 Peter 2. I believe it's around verse 20. He left us an example that we should follow in His steps. Do you want to be able to handle life and really have peace? You know, you're going to have people in your life, family members, children, grandchildren, spouses, husbands, you name it. You're going to have things happen to you in this life that if you're not careful, they'll tear your life apart. They will. You're going to have people die in your life, and if you're not careful, it'll ruin your life. And what happens to us? Why is it that we're this way? Why does that come into our lives? Because it happens to everyone. In this world, ye shall have tribulations. There's not a one of us that's going to go through an entire journey of life and not encounter many of these difficulties. Paul said, I've learned. This is an educating process. We, We're so big in this country and in this nation on educating folks. We could have a lot more wisdom if we'd be educated in the Word of God instead of educating ourselves in the philosophy of men. And I have no problem with college or high school. But I'll tell you, there's no book like this book. There's no book with this wisdom and teaching on the earth. What God says is sure and certain. It's not a book of good suggestions. When things are not going right in our lives, the answers to our problems are found in God's Word. They're not found in our neighbor's house. They're not found in some book down in the library. You know, when the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves, as is the manner of some, that's not a good suggestion. That means, and he goes on to say, when you don't come to the house of the Lord, you willfully, you premeditated to not come and worship God. Now, there are reasons we don't come to church. But I tell you, we disobeyed a command. Do we fear God, really? You know, a lot of people have lost the sense of fearing the only true and living God. You know, he sent brimstone down on Sodom and Gomorrah. He's a jealous God. He's a loving God. But as our Heavenly Father, he's more than willing to chasten us. Now, Paul said, I've learned something. We'll get back to their text. He said, there was something I've learned. I've learned to be content in whatsoever state I am. I've learned that even though I can't change the circumstances of my day and my life, I'm going to be at peace. I really am. I'm going to be at peace. Let's notice the definition of peace. I don't believe you can be content unless you're at peace with the Lord. Peace with your fellow man. You really got to have this internal peace. Not just peace from a time that you don't quarrel with your wife or your children or somebody that you know, your neighbor, your brother, sister in Christ, whatever it might be. I believe it's an internal peace that it can only come from the power of the Holy Spirit, from Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the only way we can have this peace. That's when we won't be wrung out by everything that comes. That's when we won't be filled with anxiety. You know, a lot of people love to get excited. But I tell you what, when you find somebody that has the peace of God ruling their heart, they're the most leveled person I've ever known in my life. Things don't send them off into orbit. They don't have all these problems and difficulties. It's not that they didn't encounter them, it's they put them in the hands of the Lord. You know, peace means freedom from agitation or disturbance by the passions. Think about that. That talks about your emotions. That talks about, do you ever get agitated or disturbed? Matter of fact, that's some of the greatest problems we have on the earth, is it not? We are emotionally disturbed. A lot of times we are because things didn't go according to our plan. They didn't do it according to my way. And if we don't understand what the Bible says, we'll never be at peace because there's so much in this life that you and I can never change. That's why I need this message. I would like to see things different in a lot of aspects, but I can only change me. It takes the power of Almighty God to bring about real change. But you know, we need to be at peace when doing the best that we can and be content wherever we are, with whatever we have, with whatever circumstances are presented to us in life. Can he honestly say, God, it's in your hands. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to get bent out of shape about it. I placed it in your hands. It's a tall order. That's why I preach this to me, hoping it might benefit you. Because I believe it's something that you and I encounter time and time again in our lives. It says, freedom from agitation or disturbance by the passions, emotions, as from fear. Fear. You know, how many of you fear? Some people say, well, I don't have any fear, but I tell you, how many of you fear from failing? Fear from not finding someone to marry? Fear from not having children? Or your fear that your children won't grow up the way that you'd like them to be? Fear that the boss you work for won't be happy with your work or you won't like them? I mean, fear can rule our lives. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And shall not fear what men shall say unto thee. I'm going to tell you right now, if we're ever going to live a life and have true peace in our hearts and be content, the Lord's got to be first every day. And when things don't go according to our plans, and we're all going to have those days, probably multiple days in our lives like that. It's real. It happens. We wake up and things don't go right. But I tell you, I know one person or two, that, and these are not the only folks in life, that I know that are at peace. I believe they're content. They don't get rattled like I get rattled. They don't get angry like I get angry. They place it in the hands of God. And I believe this is rare, very rare. It's not that you and I can't have it. But when Paul said, I learned it, it's something that I need to learn. I need to learn. I need to study it out. God's Word teaches us how to get to that place if we'll only pay attention. And we'll only take what God says and apply it to our life. Free from fear or terror or anger or anxiety or the like. Quietness of mind, tranquility, calmness, quiet of conscience. That's what peace is. Think about it. Are you at peace inside? No matter what happens to you today or tomorrow, are you at peace? Is it well with your soul? You know, we can all say it's well with our soul, but is it really well with our soul? When we go out here and somebody does something that makes us angry and mad, is it well with our soul? Because it's going to happen. When somebody cuts you off in traffic, you're going to get mad at them? I'm telling you, it's a freedom from those things. When Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Being content means to be at rest. It really does, to be at peace. We're told in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6, it tells us that godliness with contentment is of great gain. Wouldn't you like to gain something in your life? We're all interested in something that's profitable, are we not? Most of the time, if we make more money, we'll do everything we can. Do you want to be at peace with the Lord and with yourself? There's just so much in this life that you and I cannot change. And unfortunately, I believe with most people, I know in my own case, that I cannot change, that wears me out and gets to me, is totally out of my control. And if I was at peace with the Lord like I ought to be, all I can do is place it in God's hands. You know, I learned a lesson a long time ago after I lost my wife and daughter years ago, and Shane began to drive. You know, I thought, well, I got to give him a cell phone and I got to make sure I know exactly where he is every time he gets there and every time he leaves and all. But you know, I finally come to the point of understanding one thing. If God doesn't keep him, I can't. I couldn't protect him if I was there. His times, just like my times, are in the hand of the Lord. Friends, our lives are in the hands of the God. We need to turn our life over to the Lord Jesus Christ in every aspect. And I'm not talking about just to come to church. The problems that we have, He is bigger than any problem you'll ever encounter. Especially those problems and circumstances that we all face that we can't change, that cause us so much internal difficulty, anxiety, anger, distress, depression. On and on goes the list. Now let's go back to the beginning of this chapter. Paul said, I learned something, did he not? How do we learn? Where did Paul begin in this learning process? The Apostle Paul, if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you'll find out that man was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he was stoned. I'm telling you what, he didn't have no easy life. And yet he said, I'm content. Are you content? Question is, if you're not, do you even want to be content? Do you want to change? You know, there's some people that tell you, God made me this way, I can't change. But the Bible tells me that you don't know the Bible and the teachings of God's Word. You can change. We can change. We can all change. We can all put our troubles in the hands of the only true and living God and let Him deal with those things that you and I can't deal with. Because we really don't have any other choice unless we want to have a life filled with turmoil and confrontation. And that turmoil may be nothing but on the inside of you. But it'll eat you up. It'll eat you alive. I believe peace is something that every child of God desires. But how we find that internal peace is not easy. It's an internal problem that we have that we need to deal with. Paul began and he says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, in chapter 4 of Philippians, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Here's the first key as we begin. Stand fast in the Lord. when we stand fast in the Lord, we put the Lord first to begin with. But also, the Lord is not just first on Sunday morning. We stand fast in the Lord every day. We acknowledge, God, we need your help. Today's struggles may be more than I can bear. Help me as I go through this journey that you might take my hand and guide me through these difficult times, because I can't bear the burdens that I might have to carry. These are great troubles that we encounter in life, and we've all encountered them. They're all different, but every one of us have crossed those paths, and unfortunately, we're probably going to cross some more of them if we continue to live upon this earth. He goes on in the second, he says, I beseech you, Euodias, and beseech you, I can't pronounce the name, Synchi, and they that be of the same mind in the Lord. Again, he said, stand fast in the Lord, be of the same mind in the Lord. You know, as a husband and a wife and in a marriage, that's a great blessing. Are you of the same mind in the Lord as a husband and a wife? It will amount to tremendous blessings in your entire family. It really will. Do you and your spouse have the same idea about the Lord and how you should serve the Lord? How you should put things in the hands of the Lord? Are you standing fast in the Lord? Do you love the Lord in the same manner? You know, these things are manifest by our actions and by our life. You don't have to tell me. It's known. If a man loves God, the same is known of him. It'll manifest itself. It's like I said last Sunday. Our willingness or unwillingness to make a sacrifice, regardless of how hard it may be to do, will determine or it will manifest how much we really love the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we're unwilling, it doesn't paint a great picture. But nevertheless, we need to stand fast in the Lord. We need to be of one mind in the Lord, brothers and sisters. But you see the theme that's beginning to be set up? Paul said, for me to live is Christ. And I think that's a tough order. And to die is gain. So many of God's children believe that this world was given to them by God for their own pleasure and gain. For me to live is gain and to die is Christ. Then I'll go be with Christ. Then I'll enjoy Christ. Then I'll have all these heavenly things. But right now I'm going to grab hold of the gusto. I'm going to get everything I can here in this world. But that'll lead you to trials and difficulties and ultimately to sorrow. That's where it leads. He says in Philippians chapter 2, in verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. When we honestly can get to that point in our life, and I can't tell you where you got there or you haven't got there, but I believe with all my heart, if you get there like the Apostle Paul got there, you can say, I am content in whatsoever state or condition I'm in. You know, he said over there again in 1 Timothy 6 and 6, for godliness with contentment is great gain. And he goes on and says, if you have food and raiment, you ought to be content in verse 8. You know, if we ought to be content. And one thing about contentment is if things and circumstances are not right, it isn't just about food and houses and clothing. If your family is not doing what you want, if the country's not going in the direction you want, we need to be content that these problems, God knows about them. He knows far more about them than we do. There's only so much we can do. You can worry yourself to death. You can take this to all kinds of ends. It can eat you alive on the inside. From personal problems to problems that exist with everyone. But I tell you what, when you lay your problems at the feet of Jesus Christ, he can deal with them, whereas you and I can't deal with them. Come unto me, all ye that are laboring or heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You notice what he says? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Again, I cannot stress that if you want these things in life, and I do, because otherwise I'm in turmoil. It may be internal turmoil. Things are not going my way. Family members are not doing what I want them to do. Work's not the way I want it to be. Church is not the way I want it to be. But there are things in this life that I just cannot change. And I know that. And to allow them to eat me up is not having the eternal peace and contentment that I believe God talks about. And I believe that's rare because we let so much of the world dictate how we feel and how we go along in life. You know, the Bible is given to us to help teach us, to help learn. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When Jesus carries your burdens, it's not a big deal. It's not. You know that whatever happens was according to the will of God, not your will. And it may not turn out just like you want it. But you know it's not going to be but a couple of blinks till you and I are gone from this old world. And we're going to live in a place called glory, a place called heaven, where all the wrongs of this old world will be made right, where that is crooked will be made straight. But it's so easy to live our lives in turmoil. We all face death. We can't get away from it. First of all, we're all terminal ourselves. And it's so easy to have internal problems in our life and stress and anxiety. And I believe it's because we don't turn these things over to the Lord Jesus Christ, because we don't put them in His hands. The Bible teaches us just how to do that. We go back over here in the fourth chapter. And he says in verse 3, I entreat thee also, true yoke fella, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Honestly, every day that you live and every minute, could you say, I rejoice in the Lord, and I do it always? I believe when you get to the point that the Apostle Paul was, and you know, there'll be some of us who'll sit around and say, oh, I just can't get there. No. Paul says on down in this verse, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You may tell yourself over and over you can't do it. But I tell you, God says you can do it. You can't do it in your own strength. But through the strength of Jesus Christ, you can accomplish things that you never thought you could accomplish. You can turn your problems over to the Lord and quit trying to deal with those things that you and I cannot change. That's my biggest problem. There's so much in life I can't change. From the places that I worked, to the things that go on in our social life, to church, to anything else. They're out of my control. You know, I have to have the Lord's help. And you do too. We all do. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. How often do I preach the sovereignty of God and tell you that God is everywhere present, nowhere absent? He's right here. When you go home, He's right there. He fills the heavens and the earth. He doesn't miss out on what you think or say or do because He's right there. You know, I don't understand how God can fill the entire universe, but the Bible says He does. And by faith, I believe it. He's there. The Lord is at hand. And when He's at hand, it means He's there, available to take on your problems, a problem that you can't deal with. Because I'll assure you, we've got many problems in this life that you and I can't deal with. We can't deal with. And the problem is, they eat us up more than they do anyone. They cause us more internal strife and difficulty and torment than anyone. We don't want that in life. The theme here is the Lord comes first. Stand fast in the Lord. Be of the same mind in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. And then he says, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. You know, until I used to begin to preach, I thought there were certain things that you don't pray for. And you know, I began to pray for other things. I used to pray and bring my petitions before God. God, please fix this. God, make this right. Do this. But you know, I think the petition we need to pray is, God, help me to get right. Help me to see things as you would see things. Help me to deal with life in the way that you dealt with life. You know, when they began to take him to court before he went to the cross, they began to beat him and scourge him and say all kinds of things against him, revile against him. He opened not his mouth. You know, there is an ability that we have to not let things eat us alive. And that example is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It really is. I didn't say it'd be easy, but it's possible. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. I don't care what circumstance you're having a problem with in this life, it's worth praying to God to help you deliver you from it. Because most of the time, the problems that we have are hurting us far more than it is anyone else. It's eating us up internally because we're not resting in the eternal peace of God. And as I said, I don't think a lot of God's children really understand this peace. We're going to get to it right here. Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding." You and I cannot possibly understand the peace of God. He says over here in John chapter 14 and verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." Listen to what he says, "I give you my peace. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I tell you what, if you want to get rid of the troubles you have in this life, and that doesn't mean you'll never have another challenge, but Jesus says the peace that he can give you will allow them troubles to be overshadowed. He'll allow your fears to be removed. And honestly, there is no other way. There is no other way than through the Lord Jesus Christ. The world will tell you you can have peace doing this, you can have peace doing that. The Bible says the only peace you and I will ever have is in Jesus Christ. He said in John 16 and 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." Not in the world, not in yourselves, not in your brothers and sisters, but in me, in Jesus Christ. In me. "In the world ye shall have tribulations." You can take that to the bank. And every one of us could sit around and talk about the difficulties that we faced in this life. Every problem would be somewhat different, but it'd be a problem just as much to each and every one of us. A difficulty to get through. A time of life we had a hard time encountering and going through. But put it in the hands of the Lord. He says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." He says, "I'm meek and lowly in heart." The Lord says, "I want to carry your burdens. I want to carry your troubles. You're here for just a small time on this earth. We're here. Our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time," James said, "and then it vanisheth away." You know, we think about living 60, 70, 80 years, but I'm 57 years old and I look back and it seemed like I was a child just yesterday, and you know, a few more blinks and I'll be facing that end of my life. I mean, it's just that short. And I oftentimes, especially when I was young, I tried to drive my stakes deeper and deeper into the ground as though I was going to live here forever and that this world meant everything. But poof, it's fixing to all be gone. Put it in the hands of Jesus Christ. One day we're going to live in glory. And do you know that peace that God can give you is more valuable than all the gold or silver that you could ever accumulate? There's not one thing, a material substance on this earth that's more valuable than the peace of God. I tell you, there's not a lot of God's people live with that peace that I'm talking about. And I'll raise my hand and tell you, I don't have it. I'm searching for it, and I believe it's something that we can study out. He says back over here, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." If you don't make Christ a part of your daily life, when you go to school, when you go to work, when you go on a vacation, when you just go out among friends, this is far more than church. The body of Christ is the church. So when you leave this building, the church is still the church. You're still members of the same family, going to live in eternity forever and ever. We're to carry and to help one another with their burdens and their troubles. You know, the Lord said when we serve one another, when we've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. You know, we rejoice with those that rejoice. We mourn with those that mourn. We want that peace. I know that I do. Because I tell you what, turmoil in your heart and soul day in and day out, it's not healthy. It's not good for you. You know, we have the promises of God. The word peace and contentment bears the definition of rest. Are you resting in the promises of God when one day these things shall all pass away and all things shall be new, where sin dwelleth no more and has no dominion over you. What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one that saved me by his grace. There is coming that day. But until then, Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, that you may boldly say the Lord is my helper, and that you shall not fear what men shall do unto you. Fear is our greatest enemy. Our fear of failure, fear of other men, fear of our family, fear of the failure of our children, whatever it might be, fear can dominate our lives and send us into orbit and into torment. Jesus said, turn that fear over to me. Let me have it. Let me carry those burdens in that weight. And then he begins to give us some ideas here in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Do we want to know how to have peace and to begin to get to that place? Paul said, I had to learn it. The Bible says that we're to grow in grace and knowledge. Some people don't intend to grow. They don't intend to read God's word. They like where they're at. They like torment in their life, turmoil, whatever it might be. They seem to feed on it. They don't want to get over it. They don't want to get better. But I tell you, I do, because I just can't, you know, handling those things doesn't hurt anybody but me. It doesn't stress anybody out but me. And the Lord can help us with those difficulties. He's given us those promises and that great hope in him. Begin by thinking on the things he spoke of here. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. That is in Paul. He says, do them. Do it. And the God of peace shall be with you. Do you want a life that's more peaceful internally? A life where you can say truly that it is well with my soul? I think every child of God yearns for that, whether he ever has it or not in this life. One day we're going to have that peace, whether we ever get a hold of it here or not. But I hope that doesn't satisfy you to go through life, because you know that one day when you close your eyes in death and open them in the presence of Jesus Christ, you will know that peace. Because Jesus said, if you take my yoke upon you and learn of me, he says, I will carry your burdens. And he says, I will yoke myself to you, and when you can't walk, I'll carry you. The Lord Jesus Christ, that's what our life is about. It's amazing how we were created for that purpose. And as I've went through life, and I'm 57 years old, and I look back at all the things in this world that have dominated my life that I have thought were so important are just vanity. They're really empty. And I don't mean that there's anything wrong with them. It's just like the love of money. It's not the money. It's the love. It's the desires. It's we've taken God's blessings, and I have, and I've replaced God with the blessing. I think we see that in the Western culture in a tremendous way. He says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, in verse 10. That now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. You know, the Philippian brethren took care of the Apostle Paul's needs probably more than any church in the New Testament. Time and time again, they delivered unto him what he stood in need of. He didn't ask them. You know, the Bible tells us to be content with food and raiment, to trust in the Lord. You know, I've spoken so many times about Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Why is that so hard for us? Why do we think we have to understand that we cannot understand? Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. That means every day in your job, in your home, in your family, in your troubles. In all your problems, acknowledge God. And he said, I shall direct your steps. But so many people, I don't know if they're filled with unbelief and they lack the desire to take hold of what God said, but the answers to our problem are found here in God's word. And I know that if we take this truth and apply it to our lives could be much better. And it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to not worry. to not stress out, to really have the peace of God rule our hearts. But it says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now in the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." You know, he didn't know if them brethren were going to bring to his need again and again, but he knew the Lord would take care of him. It just happened to be that the Philippians had the mind and God put upon their hearts to help this man, this minister of the gospel. But he was trusting in the Lord. He said, "For me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain." Every one of us, when we die, it's going to be gain, whether we realize it or not. We're not gaining much in this old world. We think we are, but it's not gain. It's really vain and empty. God give us whatever we have to sustain us till he calls us home, and that's all it was for. He didn't give us an abundance so we could go out and make somebody else in our family wealthy and rich. That's not what God sustained us for. Yes, we are to be good stewards of what God give us, but I tell you right now, our focus needs to be upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "I know how both to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me." I know a lot of people do not believe they can change. Matter of fact, they're so convinced that they can't change, they made their mind up they're not going to change. And they're never going to realize the eternal peace that they could have here in this life that only God can give. Because they're determined in their minds that everybody else is wrong and they're right, and they're just going to be in turmoil all their life. But I don't want that. I want to be at peace. I can't help what happens. I can't control it, and I can't change it. It says over in Colossians 3 and 15, and I close with this verse, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." So that tells me that there's something that we need to do. We need to learn. Paul learned. He didn't wake up one morning. He wasn't born with contentment. But he said, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." And I think most of us are interested in gaining something in our life, especially something that will help us not to be tore up inside about what doesn't go our way. Because unfortunately, a lot of our life's going to be, we're going to meet them circumstances and have those problems. Not everything will ever go our way. That doesn't mean you'll never see a good day. You will. But you know, we rejoice with those that rejoice, and we mourn with those that mourn. And may God bless us to do the things that he speaks of in his word, that we might truly have this peace that passeth understanding. This rare gem that I think so few of God's people are able to grab hold of and go through life. When the disappointments come and the challenges arise, that they're not like waves that are upon the blusterous waves upon the ocean. If you ever know somebody that's at peace, you're going to find somebody that is more level in their life about everything. Matter of fact, you might think they don't care, but that's not the truth. They put their problems in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's where we all need to put them. May God bless us to do that. I thank you for your kind attention this morning.